Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, you know, you think it's going to be a slow news day when you agree to take over the show for December 23rd and December 24th, but wow, after Aaron finished the show Friday, all sorts of news just started breaking, and it continued through the weekend. So I'm excited to be here today and tomorrow. We are live here on December 23rd and 24th. Really looking forward to it. Of course, this is your favorite guest host, David Noble, filling in for Aaron Flint here over the Christmas time period. Really looking forward to it. 406-294-0970 is the number. Open phones the entire time. Folks, no guests scheduled at all, just me and you, so it's going to be good. Also, by the way, I do want to say at the outset here, I am an attorney here in Montana, fully licensed attorney in Montana. I'm a partner at a law firm here in Billings, but just to be clear, I am here solely in my personal capacity, just giving you my personal opinions on my own personal free time. I'm not here representing any clients. I'm not here representing my firm. I'm here solely in my individual capacity and happy to be here as well. One of the big things that happened apparently recently is a whole bunch of vigils and commemorations and memorials for homeless deaths here in Montana in 2024. Both Missoula, Billings, Bozeman, they all did an annual homeless persons memorial vigil on Saturday night. 9 people in Bozeman's homeless community died in 2024. 23 homeless people died in Missoula in 2024. Dozens gathered here in Yellowstone County on Friday for the Homeless Persons Memorial Day vigil to honor those who have lost their lives. I'm not seeing it immediately here how many out of Billings, but that's kind of story out there. And you know, it really is a sad, sad situation when you've got homeless folks dying out there due to all sorts of manner of problems. And frankly, you know, when the government and folks are not doing anything to help these people, it's like, yeah, you do feel bad for them because they're dealing with their own demons and there's no help out there. Nobody's stepping up to help them or to do what's right. Hey, maybe we could crack down on fentanyl at the border. Maybe that'd go a long way. But, you know, there's a bunch of Montana news. And then, of course, national news is going to be crazy. I wanted to also just, can we get a shout? Can we do almost like a Matt Rosendale thank hour or gratitude hour with Representative Matt Rosendale leaving the congressional seat here in the Eastern District and Representative Downing, Representative elect Downing taking over that seat. Can we take a minute and just look back on Representative Rosendale's career in Congress and just give him some shout outs for being a consistent conservative and voting against deficit and debt spending and blowout spending? And of course, Rosendale recently voted no on more CRs. You know, people always want, what is a CR? What is a continuing resolution? What that means is we're just going to continue spending money at the federal level like we always have. That's what a continuing resolution. Let's just continue spending money like we always have. That's why people call it the Pelosi-Schumer CR, because we're currently spending levels at Pelosi-Schumer, Democrat, Obama, Biden, Harris, tester levels. Why would we continue that? I'd say good job to Representative Rosendale.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly cloudy today with areas of light rain. With a high near 50 degrees. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low near 28. On Tuesday, mainly sunny, high near 47 early, low cool to 41. On Tuesday night, becoming cloudy with areas of rain showers, reach a low near 33. Slight chance of rain on Christmas Day. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Securing America.
The outgoing and incoming administrations continue to disagree about the southern border. While appearing Sunday on CBS's Face the Nation, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said the Biden administration is handing the new Trump administration
a southern border at which the number of individuals encountered is well below the level experienced in 2019.
Mayorkas adding,
we are now removing or returning more individuals in 3 years than the prior administration did in four.
However, speaking at the Turning Point USA event in Phoenix, Trump Border Czar Tom Homan strongly disagreed, citing both the number and nature of migrants who've already entered the U.S.
People on the terrorist watch list, well over 300 apprehended. President Trump, in 4 years, we had 13.
Homan also said,
you can't have strong national security if you don't have border security.
Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share, but if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks, and there's going to be some great content. David Noble, Scott Aspen, Leiter, and more. Download the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. Also, by the way, a precinct captain here in Yellowstone County for the GOP and a state committee man for the Yellowstone County GOP. Doing everything I can here to save the country. You know, I was feeling so optimistic after the 2024 election, and you guys might even remember, I even suggested ending the woke update of the week, which at least I admitted at the time was naive, and I knew it was naive then, and boy, has it really shown where we're at here over the last couple of weeks in terms of, hey, did we actually win? Are we in a good spot? Because these Democrats aren't backing down from any of their lunacy. They're not going anywhere. And frankly, you're seeing the same things happening in Congress. And here's the deal, folks. I know that a lot of people are mad at the 38 Republicans that voted against the Trump CR, quote unquote. But here's the, I mean, I don't, how are you going to get mad at people like Rosendale when Rosendale's entire campaign and his entire promise to the people of Montana was that I will not vote for these CRs and these omnibus packages that spend us into bankruptcy and that put us at a national security risk and is frankly immoral. Mark Levin was on Fox News last night. Mark Levin put on a great, great piece last night on whatever his show on Fox is, Levin Sunday Special or whatever they call that, Life, Liberty, and Levin. Mark Levin last night was talking about how immoral it is. We're talking about morals here, folks, for our country and for anybody to support the spending that's been going on at the federal, that is immoral. You're stealing from your own kids. Morally, what we're doing is the equivalent of stealing your child's identity or stealing your grandchild's identity. Going out and taking out a credit card in the name of your child or grandchild without your child or grandchild knowing, running up that credit card to the max, and then handing that debt bill to your kid when they turn 18 and say, hey, sorry, little Johnny, sorry, little Susie. You know, mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, we stole your identity and we ran up $100,000 in credit card debt. Now you're 18. Here's the credit card bills. Have fun paying it off. That's the moral equivalent of what the federal government is doing. And so I don't have any problem whatsoever with people like Rosendale and others voting against a CR and voting against an omnibus. Now, on the other hand, I totally understand where Trump is coming from, saying, hey, I want the debt ceiling either raised so much that we're not going to have to deal with it into my term or completely gotten rid of entirely, because Trump probably is right when he recognized the reality that the debt ceiling is going to have to be raised at some point. And so knowing that the debt ceiling, it absolutely will be raised. It absolutely will be raised. And so knowing that, what we have is we have an opportunity. Should we raise the debt ceiling under Joe Biden so that we can move forward and accurately say that the debt ceiling was raised under Joe Biden? Or you know, do we sit here and just do a little CR and don't touch the debt ceiling, which then I guess I understand to mean we're going to have to deal with the debt ceiling pretty quickly here in the Trump administration, and it's going to get raised. And that's going to be a problem for Trump, because now Trump has raising the debt ceiling on his watch. Okay, so I get that. I understand that just from a pure partisan political perspective. And I am a partisan. I'm a Republican. I'm a precinct captain. I'm a state committee man. I don't hide that. I'm not one of these journalists out there pretending to be non-biased and, oh, I'm not partisan at all and I'm an independent and I don't have any personal opinions and everything I say is just objective. No, I'll be honest with you here. But with that being said, I still don't think it was necessarily the right move by Trump, because I think what would be awesome is if Trump was using the debt ceiling the way conservatives have used it to try to leverage spending cuts, which is exactly what we need at the federal level. That's exactly what everybody is doing. And so it's really a wonderful thing. And so why Trump doesn't want to do that, especially when he set up DOGE and he set up the Department of Government Efficiency and he's done all of that stuff with Vivek and Ramaswamy. Now, the debt ceiling would be a great opportunity to implement all of that stuff. On the other hand, I think Trump is right when he says from a business perspective, running up against the debt ceiling and then using that as leverage for policy disagreements, really, that's not the best thing to be doing. It really isn't. From a credit rating perspective, from how you run the government, how you manage the government, that really is not the best way to be going about things. Because every 6 months or a year, year and a half, all of a sudden now there's this huge question and debate. Hey, are we actually going to pay? Are these bonds that are maturing? You know, everybody says, oh, are we going to pay our bills and pay our debts? And it's like, can we just be clear about what we're talking about here? We're talking about paying bonds, U.S. government bonds that are coming to maturity. that's what that means. And of course, you know, it's not good to put that at risk and raise questions about that. So I understand where Trump is coming from. I also understand where the Rosendales are coming from. Here's the other thing I like to the way I'm looking at this whole situation, the way that this happened, and I'm assuming most folks out there sort of know what happened Friday. But, you know, just to summarize, Trump had said, no, I don't want this Democrat 1,500-page CR, which was this thing Johnson had negotiated with the Democrats, some massive, massive blowout CR. Trump came in and said, no, don't do that. Do a clean CR and then also do the debt ceiling. And then ultimately, a clean CR passed, no debt ceiling, though. So some people are saying Trump lost. I don't necessarily think that's the takeaway. Some people are saying this shows Trump may not have the same control over the GOP that he traditionally has. I don't think that's the case, and I've got a reason why. I'll talk about it right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality that's been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes two full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average-paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with two children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women aged 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. From toys to food, the holidays offer some extra challenges, including choking hazards for small children. South Louisiana Medical Associates offering some suggestions to help limit risk. When it comes to toys, check for loose parts or things that might break easily. Read labels and follow age recommendations. And keep toys that might be a choking hazard, like balloons, marbles, coins, or small balls, away from small children. Some other items to be wary of around little ones: tree ornaments, which are often small and and easily breakable. And there's another holiday-related risk, button batteries. They're tiny and go in a wide variety of things like holiday cards, remote controls, flameless candles, ornaments, and more. And holiday food, some of the most popular ones are bite-sized and could pose a choking hazard, like nuts, popcorn, hard candies, lollipops, raw vegetables, dried fruits, and cheese cubes. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Wayne Northlund. After a week of drama surrounding the details of a funding bill, on Friday, the House of Representatives overwhelmingly passed a package. Then on Saturday, the Senate voted 85-11 to pass the spending bill to avoid the federal government shutdown. Later, President Biden signed it into law. Now, the bill would fund the federal government to operate through mid-March. DTN reports that the bill includes more than $100 billion in disaster aid, as well as an extension of the Farm Bill. The bill provides $20.78 billion to help farmers with disaster losses during the past 2 years. It also includes $10 billion in economic assistance through a formula laid out in the bill. The legislation creates one-time payments to producers based on 100% of planted acres and 50% of prevented plant acres from the 2024 crop year. The bill requires USDA to issue those checks within 90 days after the bill becomes law. The payment rates are not final and are subject to USDA discretion, but estimates from House and Senate Agriculture Committee staff break down the following crops, including corn at $43.80 per acre, soybeans $30.60 per acre, wheat priced at $31.80 per acre, and barley receiving a payment of $21.76 per acre. Now, those payments would be subject to a $125,000 payment limit that could increase to $250,000 for producers who receive 75% or more of their gross income from farming. Dropped from the bill was a provision that would have allowed year-round E15 sales. As previously mentioned, the bill does provide an extension of the current Farm Bill through September 30th of 2025. The House and Senate Agriculture Committees will again be on the clock to try and pass a new Farm Bill 2 years behind schedule.
As a cattle producer, you know the market has its share of ups and downs. But when you're ready to sell, you always want the best price. Since 1989, Western Video Market has been delivering just that. Western Video Market's mission is to provide its customers and buyers with innovative marketing opportunities coupled with the personal attention that's the company's hallmark. Your rep works hard to connect you with your buyers, and they won't stop working when your cattle are sold. When you work with Western Video Market, you're part of a family. Learn more at WVMcattle.com. Looking for unbeatable deals on used equipment? Then look no further than C&B, your local John Deere dealer of choice. Right now on our clearance center, we've got a 2023 John Deere 8R410 tractor with 411 hours, auto track ready with ultimate comfort package and a Gen 4 display. Now clearance at just $439,000. Want to see more clearance equipment? Then head to C&B today or visit DeereEquipment.com/clearance. But don't wait. This unit won't last long.
Returning back here on this Monday, the Conservation Technology Information Center has created the first and only directory that allows farmers, ranchers, and advisors to search for conservation programs and local technical assistance on a single platform at connector.ag. The beta version released at the 2024 Sustainable Ag Summit in November is a fully functional and provides early access to organizations that administer conservation programs or provide technical assistance to producers. Program administrators can register to manage new or existing programs and service offerings. An RFP for their farmer-facing marketing plan is currently open for projects as well. To explore this new online tool provided by the Conservation Technology Information Center, visit connector.ag. I'm Lee Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So the main reason I don't think what happened on Friday with the CR says anything about Trump's ability to control the GOP is because Trump's not president. Trump is not the president, period. And so the fact that Trump was able to get rid of that horrible 1,500-page CR was a huge victory. And frankly, it's like, yeah, I can understand why Trump wanted what he wanted. But, you know, it was kind of an impossible task. When you're asking for people like Rosendale to pass CRs, something that his entire political career is based on opposing, I get it. The other thing is, folks, I am taking calls, any call, about Matt Rosendale, since this is his last couple of weeks in Congress. Matt Rosendale's had a long career in Montana politics. We're looking here at his last week or two. Any tributes, anybody wants to call in and say, hey, I really appreciated Rosendale when he did this or did that. Any other comments, I'm taking those calls. I don't want to call it a Matt Rosendale tribute hour, but that's kind of how I feel. I've really appreciated Matt Rosendale myself. Really, really value all of his no votes on this ridiculous, immoral spending, just horrifically immoral spending. And then number two, you know, kind of going back to what I started out saying, like, I thought, wow, hey, we won the election. Everything's great. But folks, especially you folks here in the Eastern Montana Congressional District, we have to pay attention, very, very close attention to what Representative-elect Downing does. Now, I like Downing. I think he's going to do great. But we need to hold his feet to the fire to make sure that he stands by his conservative principles and doesn't vote for this out of control federal spending. So we've got one of the all-time great callers on the line, Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, thanks so much for calling. And by the way, I'll put you on hold for the 6:30 news update, but I'll come right back to you. So, Nancy, thanks for calling.
Okay. Well, you can put me on hold now, or you want me to go?
No, you got a minute. We got a minute, and then I'll put you on hold.
Okay. I got a couple of talking points. And boy, you're fired up today. You're so energetic. It's good to hear you. And I just want to wish you and your family Merry Christmas, and I do have a couple of talking points. These pardons, federal pardons that Joe Biden's been giving these prisoners, I don't know about you, but I don't think that any man or woman on death row should be there any longer than 2 years before the light is extinguished. Many of these people are 20 and 25 years on death row, and I think that's just absolutely ridiculous. And I just have a quick word about this illegal Guatemalan in New York City on the subway train that burned an innocent woman to death and sat there and watched.
We're going to have a news break right here. We'll be right back. Maybe we have what, 30 seconds still to the news break? Okay, Nancy, I don't want to say it's amateur hour in here because I'm kind of a semi-pro at this now. But I did want to hear the 6:30 news update. But what Nancy's talking about is breaking news here. Joe Biden pardoned, or he commuted, every single federal prisoner on death row. So there are no longer a single federal. Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, how about that? That 6:30 news update was about Joe Biden's commutation of all of these federal death row. And you're saying, let me make sure I understand what you're saying, Nancy, which is that basically you think it's a little bit kind of cruel to put people on death row and then keep them there for 30 years, and they've lived 30 years of their life thinking they're going to get executed at any minute?
Yes. And it's not just the cruelty, it's the cost of these inmates. These are people who have committed some of the worst heinous crimes against humanity, and I just think it's outrageous that we keep them alive. I'm not trying to take the place of God, but I think there's a moral compass to our country, and we have to do what's right and wrong, where wrongs have been committed by some people in our society. And this individual, this illegal Guatemalan in New York City that burned this innocent woman on the subway to death, I don't know about you, but I would like to see him executed instead of deported. I don't think that will ever happen because Trump's not president yet, as you pointed out. And my last talking point is this concerning Christmas. A couple of weekends ago, the visiting minister on the Lutheran Hour on 94.7 radio asked a question. He asked, can we have joy in our life without first experiencing sorrow? And then he said, do we Christians sometimes turn our back on sorrow in order to pursue individual joy? And that made me really think, about my actions and how I act during Christmas towards others. And I just want to say Merry Christmas to the whole Montana Talks family listening, and may the Star of Bethlehem shine brightly on you and your families. And it's been really a horrible 4 years, and this last year especially. And I am so relieved that we're entering a new year with a new administration. Next week, we're going to have a new Senate and Congress. Tim Sheehy, thank God, he's going to be one of our senators here. So that's all I have to say today, and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Christmas Day.
Amen to that, and Merry Christmas to you too, Nancy. Really appreciate it. We're going to go to Kat in Eastern Montana. Kat, thanks so much for calling.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, David. You do a wonderful job. Merry Christmas to everybody. And Nancy did such a good job. How do I follow up with that? But follow that anyways. But I want to take a moment to just thank Matt Rossendale for his service to our state. He is a fiscal hero in my book. He is a conservative hero in my book. And in order to do that, you don't make a lot of friends, especially in D.C. So I want to personally thank him. He has given me hope that there is a conservative side to politics. I'm very sad to see him go.
Hey, Kat, we're up against the break. Let me throw you on hold. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Life.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
406-294-0970 to get on the show as we close out 2024. I'm taking any phone call. Of course, you can call in about anything. This is Montana Talks. You can call in. I'm just inviting phone calls about Matt Rossendale as we say goodbye to him. And frankly, let's have some phone calls too about Representative Downing and what we can do to make sure that we get exactly what we need out of Representative Downing in terms of cutting spending and everything. If you want to call in about all these homeless death vigils that happened in Montana, feel free, call in about anything. We're talking to Kat in Eastern Montana. Kat, you know, you had said something that really struck a chord with me, is that one of the reasons you're so thankful of Representative Matt Rossendale is he's actually given us hope that it is possible for a conservative fighter to go to Washington, D.C. and to stand by his principles, because we were all starting to wonder, hey, is there something in the water in D.C. or something? Because even when we elect conservatives, they go there and they end up voting in favor of the CRs and the omnibuses and everything. So I hear you, Kat. Matt Rossendale has been a wonderful breath of fresh air to prove that it is possible for a conservative to go to D.C. and stick by their principles. Is that kind of what you were thinking, Kat?
That's exactly where I'm at. I mean, it can't be the popular thing to do by any means. And you know, they must have been very difficult for Matt Rossendale. So I want to thank him really from the bottom of my heart. Another topic I wanted to bring up real quick, and I also want to say Troy Downing, I have a lot of faith in him. I'm praying for him. I hope he can do the same thing. But the other topic I wanted to bring up very quickly is that I went to X yesterday. Benny Johnson had posted this. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas said on Face the Nation, we certainly have received reports of children being trafficked, even those as to whom we know where they are. That is outside the responsibility of the Department of Homeland Security. So I did want to bring that up today because I think that's very important. I have called this radio station multiple times to talk about the missing 300,000 children at the border. So I just wanted to point that out. Thank you so much, David, for all that you do. God bless Montana.
Kat, let me ask you a question, because I saw that same thing and I was kind of like, well, that's weird. So what's my take on it is, number one, you know, I don't believe it. You know, a federal bureaucrat like Mayorkas who blatantly and intentionally does whatever the heck he wants, notwithstanding federal law and federal regulation, for him to say, oh, there's some, you know, hyper technical little loophole thing and we can't do anything out about kids that are being trafficked. First of all, that's complete garbage. Second of all, even if it's true, call the sheriff or call somebody else to deal with it. I was just outraged by it, but I guess I'm curious, kind of you bringing the point up, but what's your analysis of it, of what he said?
My analysis is that Alejandro Mayorkas has worked for these NGOs that have helped traffic these children over the border.
Right.
Then they process through Homeland Security and Border Patrol. Then they go to an NGO, Catholic, Jewish NGOs. Then they're given to MS-13 gang members. Their organs are harvested. This is the thing, David. If we do not prosecute Alejandro Mayorkas, every single one of our citizens of this country are complicit. Complicit by turning a blind eye, complicit by not pursuing it, and it is a tragedy. Organ harvesting for children crossing our border, absolutely unacceptable, and I will not stand for it, and that's just me. So that's my analysis this morning.
I totally agree. Great analysis. Thanks so much for the call, Kat. Really appreciate it. As always, open phones 406-294-0970. Yeah, I watched a good chunk of that Mayorkas interview with the scumbags that face the nation, Margaret Brennan, just a hardcore Democrat masquerading as an independent journalist. But no, I saw that same thing. And you know what's interesting is okay, so there was something in that CR, in the Democrat CR bill, to try to shield the members of the January 6th committee from criminal prosecution. And that got taken out. So everybody wants to talk about, oh, Trump lost because, you know, the GOP Congress didn't pass a debt ceiling hike, even though that's what Trump wanted. No, Trump won because we got all of that junk out of the 1,500-page CR, like the liability shield for the January 6th committee members. But here, so as a lawyer, one of the things I do when we talk about, okay, well, hey, we want to pursue, you know, criminal cases against this person, or we want to pursue this, it's like, okay, well, first thing you got to do is figure out what crime is it? What potential crime is there? And do the facts and the evidence meet the elements of that crime? And could it be proven? So when it comes to Mayorkas and the January 6th committee members, I don't know much about criminal law, but I'm not thinking of something other than like fraud, you know, criminal fraud or some of these more generalized things. But I can't think of like what crime it is. But here's the thing. If there's not already a criminal statute that makes what Mayorkas did criminal and makes what January 6th committee members did criminal, then guess what? We need to pass new criminal laws so that that never, ever happens again. And so that those, if that does happen again, they can be criminal. And frankly, while we're at it, can we go ahead and pass some new criminal laws that make what happened under COVID-19 criminal? Because a lot of the things a lot of people did in COVID-19, and when I'm talking about people, I'm talking about elected officials, unelected officials, you name it. But maybe there's some crimes, new crimes that need to be added so to make sure that what happened under COVID-19 never, ever happens again. Let's go to Tom in Billings. Tom, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
This Judge Mershon, you know, Trump's spokesperson, you know, Stephen, you know, he stated in a statement that Mershon's decision is a direct violation of the Supreme Court's decision on immunity and other outstanding jurisprudence. Why does this guy, is he going to sit around for 4 years and wait until President Trump is done and then try to throw this at him? We need the Supreme Court of the United States, you know, to get rid of this and not worry about the appellate courts. You're trying to still prosecute a sitting president.
No, Tom, that's exactly right. Tom, I'm curious because you're bringing up a point that you're spot on, and it's something that Alan Dershowitz, former Harvard law professor, has talked about on his podcast. I'm curious, are you familiar with what Alan Dershowitz has been saying about Judge Mershon trying to say that he's not going to sentence Trump right now, but he's and why he's doing that under New York law?
Yeah, I'm a little familiar with it. I mean,
Well, how are you following? How are you following this so closely then? Because frankly, Alan Dershowitz is kind of one of the only sources I'm finding out there where you're getting sort of really detailed legal analysis of what Judge Mershon is doing.
Well, and that's who I'm going through, because Alan Dershowitz, I mean, I love that guy. I love the way he goes through things. I mean, the appellate court needs to, this, I mean, they can put a writ.
That's right. That's exactly
right.
No, that's exactly right. No, you're spot on. Great call. The point is what Judge Mershon did is he said, I'm not going to sentence Donald Trump right now, which means that Donald Trump can't appeal it because under New York criminal law, apparently, you can't appeal a criminal conviction until you've been sentenced. So what Mershon is trying to do is trying to have that criminal conviction just hanging out there so that everybody can say Trump's a convicted felon for the next 4 years and not give Trump the right to appeal it. That's clearly unconstitutional. They're going to fix it. Don't worry.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Elon Musk said this CR is criminal. He's not wrong in what he's saying. And it's business as usual. It's swampiness as usual. And it's clear they didn't get the message from the last election. And on top of it now, people that can't balance the budget, can't secure our borders, can't provide a good education for our kids, people that will not resolve the law and order and violence issue in our country, you know, people that have wasted so many billions of dollars on diversity, equity, inclusion, on wokeness, etc. They're going to now, you know, grant themselves a pay raise on the way out? Well, clearly, none of them, Democrat and Republican, learned a thing about what happened in November. That's got to come to an end. January 20th can't get here soon enough as far as I'm concerned.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Did you know your life insurance is an asset you can sell? I'm Jay Jackson, CEO of Abacus Life. For almost 20 years, Abacus has been purchasing life insurance policies from seniors just like you. And at abacuspays.com, we've created a free policy value calculator so you can find out the worth of your policy in just seconds. There are no fees and no obligations. Get real value from your life insurance when you need it with Abacus. Learn more at abacuspays.com.
Why pay more for prescriptions? Stop overpaying and start saving with SingleCare. It's easy. Find your prescription on SingleCare.com, show the coupon at the pharmacy, and start saving. SingleCare works at pharmacies nationwide and is completely free to use, whether you have insurance or not. So the next time you fill a prescription, check SingleCare to make sure you're getting the best price. Take control of your prescription costs. Go to SingleCare.com or download the free app today.
Green, where it's a high near 50 degrees. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, low near 28. On Tuesday, mainly sunny, high near 47 early, low cool to 41. On Tuesday night, becoming cloudy with areas of rain showers, where it's a low near 33. Slight chance of rain on Christmas Day. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll tell you what, if you're going to be traveling this holiday season, whether it's on a plane, train, or an automobile, download the Montana Talks app. Not only can you listen live through the Montana Talks app, you'll see some of the web content, some of the news and commentary pieces that we share. But if you're traveling, you're in and out of coverage, you're sleeping in, you can download all 4 hours of Montana Talks, and there's going to be some great content. Dave
Beavy. Start your free trial at BritBox.com.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Man, I haven't even gotten to some of the most important news and some of the most fun stuff that I wanted to talk about today. Just because we've just been going off on all the news of the day here. But I did want to mention this because here's some good news. And, of course, it comes from Montana's Attorney General, Austin Knutson. I actually got a couple of good news stories about AG Knutson. Here's one that's good for veterans out there. MVD accepting additional documents for veterans to receive special recognition for their driver's license to improve service to Montana vets. The Montana Motor Vehicle Division, part of A.G. Knutson's DOJ, of course, is now accepting additional documents for U.S. vets to receive the veteran designation on their state-issued driver's license. Now, going forward, MVD will accept a current VFW or an American Legion card, which both indicate good standing to receive the designation. MVD will also continue to accept the DD Form 214 or a letter from the VA. So that's good stuff. Bunch of positive quotes from the American Legion Department Commander Ken Simon, the state adjutant and quartermaster for the VFW of Montana, Jeff Shep, MVD administrator Lori Backery, all on board. So, hey, good news out there. Of course, I don't know how many people that affects, but that's good news that's out there. Wanted to raise that. While we're talking about how awesome Austin Knutson is, can we also mention, here's one. Attorney General Austin Knutson files lawsuit against the Biden administration's unlawful plan to halt coal production. Montana AG Austin Knutson filed a lawsuit against Biden's plan that will halt federal coal production in the Powder River Basin, which accounts for 85% of all coal produced on federal land and would effectively kill Montana's coal industry. And this is the 59th lawsuit A.G. Knutson has filed against the Biden administration. You know what's good? A.G. Knutson's not going to have to be filing so many lawsuits against the U.S. administration in the next 4 years, because you're not going to see this type of lunacy out of the Trump administration like you're seeing out of Biden. I've got a story here about household appliances that's going to make your head explode when you learn what the Biden administration is doing on household appliances, what you learn what they're doing on light bulbs, what they're doing on gas-powered cars. These Democrats in D.C. think that they should get to decide what kind of light bulbs I use in my house, and what kind of a stove I have, and what kind of a car I drive. Hey, all you DC power grabbers, get out of my house. I don't want to hear anything about what kind of light bulb I can use from anybody in DC. Thanks. Hey, Democrat Biden administration folks, quit trying to tell me what kind of stove I can have in my house and what kind of water heater I can have. This is unbelievable that these Democrats and left wingers think that it's a good idea to have some bureaucrat or politician in D.C. tell the people of Montana what kind of light bulbs they can have in their house. Absolutely outrageous. And then to try to shut down coal mining in our country. I mean, just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So let's go to Aaron in Three Forks. Aaron in Three Forks, one of the all-time great callers. Thanks for calling, Aaron.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Good. Hey, you said that it was unconstitutional what Mershon was doing.
Correct.
Is that under the right to a speedy trial? Or, I mean, how is that unconstitutional? I'm just curious.
It would be due process. And so if you are convicted of a crime but denied your right to appeal, that would be a violation of due process.
Ah, okay. All right, cool, man. Thanks.
Yeah, you bet. And just FYI, I wish I could take credit for that. I wish I could take I wasn't the one that came up with that legal theory or legal art. That is maybe one of the best lawyers in the entire country, former Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz. Can't recommend the Dershow. It's amazing, you folks out there. It's like, here we are in 2024, and we can get free schooling from Harvard Law professors. It's incredible.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality that has been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes two full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average-paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with two children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women age 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.